Hello and welcome to Echoes of Glory Season 8, Episode 22. I'm Jack.
Abbas.
Hey, Steve.
Let's go straight into it. We've got loads to cover today, some controversial opinions. Yeah. I think it's going to get very interesting to see what everyone thinks about what's gone on the last week. So, we're going back to basics. So, what are your priorities as a Spurs fan? Abbas.
Yeah, interesting. First and foremost, for me, it's always playing attractive football. Secondly, it's results and, you know, winning. Yeah. Winning is important. Winning breeds winning. It's just having that mentality of being...
So the good football to you is more important than the winning? So you'd rather go to a game...
Well, no, I'd rather win. I'd rather shithouse a 1-0 than have played brilliantly and lost 2-0, you know? But good football is important, but winning breeds winning. Mm-hmm. The winning mentality is something that is massive for, you know, for the team game.
Have we got that?
Yes and no. I don't believe we have it when it truly matters. I think we have it up until a certain point. Mm-hmm. And then when, if you look at the last three seasons, and I see ASD getting closer here, but you look at the last three seasons, in the last three seasons, we've been there or thereabouts within the title race. And when we shouldn't be. We shouldn't be part of the title race conversation at all. But we are. And that's because of the great job Posh is doing.
Why shouldn't we be?
Because we don't have the same level of expenditure as other teams. We don't have, I would say, the quality that other teams possess. The squad depth. But my point here is, you look at when we get mentioned within the title race, so the press will say Spurs are in the title race. Almost immediately, you could probably bet £100 that the next game Spurs have, it could be Bournemouth at home, it could be Woking in the FA Cup.
1-0. We'll lose it.
Mm. We'll lose it. And that is where the mentality comes up until. So we, up until a certain point, when the pressure's off, we're great. When the pressure's on, just notch turned up a tiny bit, we do not perform.
I wouldn't say I disagree with any of that, if I'm honest. The thing that I would disagree on, where you say we shouldn't be in the title race and in the tour, I think we've got a good side as anyone. So I think that's where maybe the whole squad isn't as good as a City or a Liverpool. I'd give you that. But I think in terms of starting 11
is brilliant.
I think it's up there with anyone.
It is. But you just look at the bench options when we've got two or three injuries, and you look at it and you say that's not strong enough. You look at City's bench, you look at Arsenal's bench, even Arsenal's bench. You look at Chelsea's bench. Yeah. They've got players who they can bring on who can massively change games. Mm.
See, I feel like our squad is excellent, but the calibre is just a level down compared to a City and Liverpool. You look at City, if Sane doesn't play, Mahrez plays. Like, there's not, you know, that quality of play. I think ours, we've got good squad players, your Lamellas, your Lucas Moras, but compared to an Eriksen or an Ali, they're just not quite at that level. So whilst I wouldn't say our squad's not good enough, versus a City or a Liverpool, I would say they probably are just edging that side of it. If you were to take all of the first teamers out and put the second string players in, we've still got a great squad, but their side doesn't actually weaken all that much.
No, City have got two first 11s, like legitimately two first 11s. Yeah. Liverpool haven't got it quite as much, and we are miles behind it. And in the league where it's the course of a year, you will have injuries. That is where the strength comes from, the depth. And we just can't, with the wages that we pay, you know, I always come back to wages, we can't afford to have players who are happy to just sit there. Like Barkley, it's taken years for Chelsea to get something out of Barkley. Mm. And they paid loads of money for Barkley.
It's quite sad. Do you know what I mean?
Oh,
like, you look at the state of football, like, Ross Barkley would have been, and I remember saying at the time, he'd have been a good signing for us. He still would be.
15 million. But I just don't understand. You can only assume someone like a Barkley would have come down to a wages issue rather than anything else.
Yeah, because that's exactly
he it. Would have got game time, and at £15 million, he was
exactly it.
I struggle with wages, and I'll come on to your priorities in a minute. With wages as a footballer, there is nothing that is different about earning 50 grand a week as there is 100 grand a week. Like, in terms of your life, you've got it made. When you reach that certain level of money, it makes absolutely no difference whatsoever. Well, and to sacrifice your career at such an early age, this is in the Barclay example, is baffling. Absolutely. I get term 32, 33, and you can go and earn 15, 20 million in a year in China. Why anyone would want to move to China, I don't know. but you know, I mean, I get that at that point in your career, but to sacrifice it early on, I just find it baffling.
Oscar said it, right? So Oscar did move to, he's gone to Grangeau Everglades, I think. He said, like, he was 24, 25, and he said, look, I'm probably never going to be in the national team again, but I never have to work again, and my family don't have to work again for the rest of their lives. And they could, tomorrow, you have a look at, Hull player, did his head in, ex-Spurs player, what's his name, Mason.
Ryan Mason.
But he can't play anymore. He doesn't get paid that much anymore. He gets paid a tenth of what he used to. Anything can happen at any time.
But even if you're on Ryan Mason, what was he earning at Tottenham? Maybe 25, 30 grand a week.
That's still more than the average person earned in a year.
You know, like, what did he have? 2 good years at Spurs, a year at Hull, and then he's, you know, he's a multi-millionaire anyway, unless he's been absolutely crazy with his money. I just, the Oscar one, I understand that one more, given his background and where he's from. He's from, for anyone who doesn't know, real poverty, like, as in, like, shacks, that kind of level, like, they've got nothing. So I can sort of understand that a bit more. But even with him, he's like, he went from, what was he earning at Chelsea? At least 80, 90 grand a week, surely.
He wouldn't be on, like 10 or 20k.
No.
He was on, like, good money there as well.
Been a lot.
Yeah, but where's that cut off where you go, you don't need any more money? Is it 50 grand a year? Like, do you just go, well, I don't need any more money?
I think everyone's got a different cut off, haven't they?
Well, I think what it is once you earn a certain amount, you live within the means of that amount that
you
earn.
That's correct. And that's about 40 grand a year you need to live.
But as a footballer, if you are Ross Barkley and you're on 60k a week or whatever at Everton, and Spurs are coming in with 60k a week, you're looking at your lifestyle, you're looking at what you afford and what you have. And then you're looking at Chelsea have 120k or 160k a week or whatever, and you look at it and you're like, actually, my mortgage on the house is 2.4 mil, but with a Chelsea thing, with a Chelsea contract, I can get a house worth 4 mil. It's living within your means, but then it's always striving for more in terms of financial benefits.
You listen to all the old footballers, they don't know where their medals are, or they're just giving them to their kids. That doesn't matter. Like, it really doesn't matter. But how much they earn now, you've got to think, the people advising them are former footballers now from the 90s as well, who will all be struggling for cash. You know, like, we're just seeing Gerard, Lampard, the first of the millionaire footballers come through. So they're still in new territory and they're going to try and get as much money as they can. And I don't blame them. Like, I don't blame them. Obviously, you want to win medals and you want to win everything. But you're Ross Barkley, you go, I've got to back myself, because there's no guarantee when he moves that he's sitting on the bench. I've got to back myself. I've got more chance of winning stuff at Chelsea, plus I'm getting more money. Why wouldn't I go?
The other side to it is, obviously, you don't know in the Barkley situation what he's been told by, was it Conte that signed him? He might have said to him, you know, you come in, set off 6 months, you're in the foot. Like, you don't know what's been promised. And the trophies thing is, that's the other thing with the Chelsea-Spurs comparison. Can I go to Chelsea for a couple of years? Maybe I'll sit on the bench, but I might pick up a Premier League winner's medal, an FA Cup, might nick a Champions League, and then 2 years on, I can probably then drop down and play more. Yeah. That's the kind of... I think for people that aren't in football, I mean, our careers effectively are going to be most of our lives. It's tough for us sometimes to relate to it, because a footballer needs to maximise everything in about 12 years, really. That's sort of their peak time. Yeah. It's quite difficult to relate to that. So I get it and I don't. I feel upset sometimes when I hear of a player really just sort of cashing in all that ability to just... They're not bothered. It's just like, I'll just sort all of that out. Do you know, they're just... What are they? In the human population, they've got to be like less than 1% of people that are that talented in that field.
Point the real top 1%.
And it's like, to see someone with that much talent just...
But it depends what you want to do with your talent. If your talent is a pathway to earning money, that's what they're doing, you know? It's nice that they kicked the ball and they won some medals, but they're in a newspaper a couple of days, but that doesn't make them rich, you know?
It's a real interesting one. Just divide opinions. But I want to hear about what your priorities are as a Spurs fan.
Number one, good football. That's what we stand for at Spurs. I had number two was development. I like seeing us get better, but as a club, year on year, I like seeing the whole squad, I like seeing everything develop. And then number three was young local talent coming through. Like, I'm all about Spurs developing. Like, it's all about community, it's all about us growing and then earning our respect and earning our success. Like, what we're going to be talking about for the next hour or however long we do it is the difference between emotion and money. And money now buys the cups. If City wanted to win the League Cup, they'd put their first team out or their second first team out, you know.
And that's been statistically proven, hasn't it? You look at title winning sides, yeah. 90% of the time they are the sides that spend the most money.
I guess my question to both of you guys is it more admirable to not spend as much money as others and consistently fall short, or is it admirable to spend the money and win the trophies?
It depends what you mean by falling short, and this is where the emotions of the weekend come in, where frustration comes from your expectations not being blocked from hitting your expectations, right? And so if us as fans, we want to win trophies. I don't really know why. I was trying to be logical. We want to win every game, I think. We want to win every game. That's it. We want to prove that we're better and having that we try harder.
Having that cup is just a signal of...
It's a tangible outcome to the hard work you've put in.
But for me, and I would love an FA Cup more than anything else. I would love an FA Cup. Not more than anything else, but I'd rather see us to hit top four consistently, because that means then we can pay the wages of the players. Because if we put our first team out, our knackered first team, got injuries from the game this weekend, not hit top four, we couldn't pay the wages and we couldn't attract the players that we did.
I'm not so disappointed about yesterday. I predicted, I said we'd probably end up losing that game, to be honest. I scored. But what I was more disappointed about was obviously the Chelsea game, which is another game we'll cover in a minute. But for me, I mean, trophies are important. I see Poch had very interesting comments post-match Palace game yesterday. I don't know. I'm not sure I necessarily agree with him. I don't think I do fully agree with him. I see where he's coming from to a point. But you look at trophies in the last like 10 years in the FA Cup, you've had teams like Portsmouth win it and Wigan. I mean, where's the logic in that? You've had Leicester win the league. You've had shit teams win things.
I mean, Bradford got to a cup final. Do you remember? Not too long ago when Swansea won it.
Yeah. So you get really poor teams going on a run and winning it, but when it comes to expectations and you know, year on year, we don't win something. That pressure is just cranked up an extra notch. It just goes up 1% on dial every year. And you can see it now where I don't think trophies in the first two or three seasons with Poch were necessarily something that we were aspiring to. I feel like it was very much trying to, you know, learn more about ourselves and have fall in love with the team again. That's now happened. The second stage now, for me, is tangible success / top four finishes.
That's a really interesting point you make, actually. So, Giles Edwards, a good friend of the show, on Twitter earlier, sent this in. So, this is an article from The Telegraph. So, this is about finances, priorities, Pochettino. So, winning the FA Cup is worth £6.6 million. Qualifying for the last 16 of the Champions League, which Tottenham have done under Pochettino, is worth around 70. So there, if we're talking, if we take our emotion, I'm talking to myself here, out of it for a minute, there's no question. But, interesting in this article, it says, it was pointed out in some quarters over the weekend, and this is an old article, that Tottenham used to be known as a cup team, and this is exactly what they want to avoid falling back into. So actually, what you've just said about consistency and being a team, I know you said about being there or thereabouts, but being a team that can challenge on all fronts, is traditionally not something that we've done for decades.
And to be fair, it's difficult for pretty much any team in England to do other than City because of that squad depth. Yeah.
The next bit of this article actually says, while the ambition is to win trophies, Spurs do not want to lift a cup every 10 years or so and experience inconsistent league seasons in the meantime.
Of course not.
The Premier League finishing table from 08-09, right? Man United... then Liverpool, then Chelsea, then Arsenal, then Everton, then Villa, then Fulham, then Tottenham. Mm. We've got better since then. We've got better than every single team, apart from maybe Liverpool, that are on that team.
But then you could argue
we were better than Liverpool for
that over the last 10 years. We've
four
probably,
or 10 years.
Yeah.
Barring
that success,
the Suarez season and this season.
You never look at, and that's far more successful than the couple of FA Cups that Arsenal have won. I would argue we're a bigger club because of it. The bigger, it's just about gaining that mass organically, so we can then start to build and win things. Mm. But it's just about football's about making money.
I'm just very interested because I put out a poll on Twitter yesterday, actually, which said, what's more important for Spurs, or what game, sorry, should have been prioritised, the Palace game or the Watford game? Because in my mind, and I'll come on to my opinions in a minute, there was not even a decision to be made. It had to be Palace. That had to be the game we had to prioritise. And I thought that I was in the majority, really, with that view. But interestingly, 44% of people said Palace, 56% said Watford.
And this is after the game, isn't it?
After the game. So this is including gut reactions of that. So it's probably more...
Yeah.
So more people actually are like, well, Watford's a bigger game. Going back to what I said at the top of the show about priorities. So I put this out on social media earlier. Brilliant responses as ever, particularly on Reddit. Yeah. I'll read out a few of them because I think this just gauges where people are at. So OP does not respond on Reddit. In order, winning the Premier League, winning the Champions League, finishing in the top four, winning the FA Cup, winning the League Cup, winning the Europa League, beating Arsenal, finishing above Arsenal, beating Chelsea, beating Man United, Man City or Liverpool, beating anyone else, having nice kits. But a lot of people are all about, you know, the top four is where it's at. My view on it is we're good enough where it doesn't have to be one or the other.
I agree with that. So I completely agree with that. My only concern is, do we not then become everything that we mocked with Wenger and Arsenal, where almost settling for fourth was... and kind of settling for mediocrity.
No. I know what you're saying, and I don't think I think this is, it's about managing our own expectations. I don't think we're aiming for fourth. We're aiming for as high as possible, but accepting the fact that the top two positions will be bought probably. So not getting disappointed when we hit fourth. It's a slightly different view, because I agree with you totally. We can't go and aim for fourth, because that's not aiming for echoes of glory and all that. We have to aim as high as we can, but accept that it's not frustrating if we don't win against Man City or against Liverpool, because this is not who we are.
And I think the mockery of Arsenal with finishing fourth every year was that, for me especially growing up, Arsenal would, you know, invincible, winning Premier League titles, getting the Champions League finals, like, they were the team. As painful as that is to say, you know, one of my best friends is an Arsenal fan, you know, every week listening to him saying, oh, we only scored three at the weekend and we're getting turned over by Middlesbrough.
Yeah.
And so it's how the mighty have fallen with them. That's what the mockery is, that their fans went from, you know, demanding titles every season to then being fairly happy with finishing fourth. Yeah. That's more of what the mockery is. It's just a really interesting one. A couple of other things from Reddit that I just want to read out about what our priorities are. Pentapoodle on Reddit says, I want to enjoy what I watch and not leave like my day is ruined. The effort on the pitch matters the most. We had an unlucky day. It's much easier to stomach than we played terribly.
That's the thing. It's not Spurs of old where we were just awful. Like, this isn't being battered by Liverpool 5-0 and just walking out like Suarez has ripped us a new one. We weren't great by any stretch of the imagination, but this is not a consistently bad team.
Yeah.
This is a team ravaged by injuries.
Yeah. Johans 13 says, at the moment, top four, so survive that, get to the new stadium, keep Ericsson if possible, let's worry about winning stuff when we're back home.
See, all this Ericsson stuff's weird. Like, where's it come from? Like, nobody knows anything, but suddenly he's going to Real Madrid. There's as many reports saying Real Madrid have ended the speculation, ended the interest, as there are saying that he's going. Contract's an issue, though.
I mean, there's a lot of questions. I think it's a point of the season, and we're wrapped with everything, where there's just a lot of questions and a lot of uncertainty.
Mm.
There's been speculation about Poch for the last few months, about Man United, the stadium uncertainty. When you've got players as good as we've got and we're not quite getting over the line when we need to, there's always going to be question marks. And to be honest, that's never going to go away until we win a big trophy. That whole thing about can Spurs, it will never go away. And even if we win the FA Cup, which, you know, we can't do this season, it still won't go away. Then it will be a case of, oh, they haven't won the league. it's just something we've got to deal with.
But whose goals are these? These are the newspapers' goals, and they don't know anything. All they're doing is creating controversy so they sell papers. Like, let's not forget, the job of a newspaper is to be sold, the job of a website is to be sold and to get clicks and to get people to dwell on it. That's how, and they do that by being controversial. No one goes to a newspaper if they just agree with everything, right?
Well, what we were saying off air before we recorded, actually, is that we would be fascinated to know, is Pochettino's brief from Levy get in the top four?
That's the point. We don't know what the point is.
Did Pochettino make the conscious decision to not include Eriksen or De Vrij and prioritise the league over the cup? We will never know that. We will absolutely. That's something that we'll never find out. But I would absolutely love to know, because I actually think Pochettino looks at it and thinks the FA Cup for him. Yeah, it'd be great to win it. I don't think he doesn't want to win it, but the Champions League and getting as far as we can in the league to him feels like that's something that matters more.
The song goes, doesn't it? The FA Cup is an occasion, next best to Christmas Day. It isn't anymore. The Christmas Day now is a long, drawn-out, getting Sky money, getting Champions League money, and that's the world we live in.
Let's talk about the Chelsea game.
Chelsea!
So we went there 1-0 up. I mean, it feels like an eternity ago, that Chelsea game. We went there 1-0 up, lots of injuries.
Yeah.
You know, all of our attack effectively out, apart from Eriksen, who's not been playing as far forward this season anyway. We go 2-0 down. The first goal, Kante hits it from the edge of the box, slight deflection. Maybe Gazzaniga could have done it.
Nutmegs about three people.
Yeah, maybe Gazzaniga could have done a little bit more. I don't know, it's difficult. The second goal wasn't great from our point of view, people not going with their runners. But 2-0 down at half time, honestly, I thought we're dead and buried. I thought there's chances and there's space on the break, but I was sat there thinking they're going to really pick us off. Fair play. Second half, we really fought back. Llorente took his goal superbly. I don't think he played great against Chelsea. His hold-up play wasn't really there. But fantastic finish.
Great header.
Danny Rose was sensational when he came on. Absolutely. Honestly, I feel like he's almost back to the levels he was at 2 or 3 years ago. He just looks on it at the moment.
I think he's got a point to prove as well.
Yeah. I agree with that. And you know, it goes all the way to penalties. It's a lottery at that point.
Luck of the draw.
We do, and bear in mind the attacking injuries we had. That's three penalty takers.
Would you like to know the squad values? I've spent some time this afternoon. Chelsea.
Been busy.
I just prioritised. Our squad was worth 150 million. I can read them out individually if you want, but like, although we don't know how much we pay for Gazzaniga, I've put it down as a free. And that is massively boosted by Sissoko and Lamella. Mm-hmm.
And what's Chelsea's?
306. So
it's more than double.
Yeah, we're 48% of theirs. Interestingly, though.
But is that's not a reflection on penalties as a whole?
It's the two games that got us to the penalties, right? And then, but the benches are interesting. Chelsea's bench is only worth 55 mil, and that is pretty much all Alonso and Willian. However, Kovacic is on loan, so they're paying loads of money for him, and so they're 55 and we're on 83 mil, but that's because you've got Sanchez coming back, you've got Lucas Moura on there, and you've got Lloris, so that's where all that money's coming from.
Kovacic of Chelsea, we were linked with him in the summer. Do you feel like we've missed out there by not having signed him?
No, because he's a bit part player at Chelsea. He would probably be starting for us. Would he be starting over Winks or Dyer or?
Yeah.
So he'd probably be better than that.
The penalties were painful, wouldn't they? I mean, it's one of them. I'm always, obviously, the Dyer penalty is dreadful to come up and blaze it over, but it's tough, you know, like penalties. They've obviously put their hands up to say, I'll take it. I find it difficult, really, to criticise players and shootouts because it can happen.
You can't.
If I'd said to you, England, both our boys score penalties. Our boys, both England's boys score penalties, and England go through to a semi final. But Spurs, they miss both theirs, and you crash out of both cups within 4 days to two London teams. We would have taken it.
That World Cup penalty shootout was one of the best moments being a football fan.
It was
phenomenal.
Do you know what? You take it. I don't know.
It happened. It happens. It's one of them. You know, like
if you look at it, we would have had Kane. We would have had Eriksen, Dele,
Son.
Four penalty takers. Three of them who didn't play.
There you go.
It was a tough one. It's always tough losing on pens, but
it's not to say they would have scored.
No.
But they would have
Kane would have. I've never seen a player who I would put all of my money on Kane scoring.
Penalties are always a lottery. You know, we could get three or four more of our mates and play a pro team and beat them in a penalty shootout. It can happen.
Yeah.
You're just always disappointed when a player doesn't hit the target. Like, the keeper saves it, you sort of say, fair enough.
But that's it. There's
to
no
blaze
excuses,
it over,
it.
It's like... Oh.
Tell you what I'm not having anymore is... Sorry, I interrupted you as well. The Tottenham DVD thing. You have a look how Chelsea celebrate. You have a look at how Arsenal celebrate when they beat us. I'm not having the DVD thing. It means the world to them. Shows you how far we've come.
It means the world to everyone. You know, like... I'm with you on... But like, I'm pleased that it means as much to them now. Yeah. Like, not in the moment, obviously, I'm hating it. But I'm like... That's what makes these derbies so much better now. A London derby's made with Spurs in it now. You watch a London derby, it doesn't involve Spurs. Nowhere near the same. No. Everyone hates us. We hate all of them as well.
Yeah.
The best derbies are Spurs, Arsenal, Spurs, Chelsea, Spurs, West Ham. Nothing comes close to it anymore. Whereas, you know, you go back 10 years ago, Spurs, Chelsea, Spurs, Arsenal weren't... No, it wasn't a two-way derby. It was a one-way derby, really.
Yeah.
Anyway, that's the first heartache of the week.
Right, Palace. Squad values at Palace.
Go on.
We are at 116, so let's not forget we had 148 out.
Mm.
And when you consider how much Pogba was, like 114 is not much, 116 is not much money. But they were 62 million.
Mm.
Like, Spironi was less than a million. Ward was...
Who's their most expensive player that played?
Who do you think?
Townsend
on 14, and then Schlupp on 12.4.
Wouldn't mess with him.
Piatti was 9, Van Aanholt was 9, Wickham was 9, everyone else was less than 5. Whereas we've got...
Zaha
was 3.5 for Man United.
Because they sold him and then bought him back, didn't they? Do you remember? Made a load of cash on it.
Great business.
It was like the Robbie Keane deal we did with Liverpool that time.
And then our benches were exactly the same. Really? 75 and 74, yeah. Because they had Benteke at 28, Sacco at 25, Milivojevic.
28 for Benteke. It's unbelievable.
It was him and Lukaku who was like... The big lumpy striker.
Me and Sam were talking about it, and we were saying that there were points where, you know, like Benteke was ahead of Lukaku.
And
you were like, this guy, when he was at Villa and he was banging the goals, and everyone was like, what a player, like, he could play for Real Madrid.
Yeah.
And it was like, now he couldn't even get in their meeting.
We were linked with him, weren't we, when he was at Villa?
He was the next Leonardo Damião, wasn't he, after that pink. first thing then, before we get into the game, squads announced, and then the starting 11's announced. I was shocked. Absolutely shocked.
But why?
We've got all these injuries. Our best centre half wasn't even in the squad. Our only remaining attacker, really, in Eriksen. You know, he is our playmaker. He's the one that makes us tick. Not even included.
I would have had him on the bench. I probably wouldn't have started him, but I would have had him on the bench.
He was knackered, apparently, like exhausted. Don't forget, he's coming back from a stomach bug. Like, I think he is beyond gone.
My view was. Play them both. If you're in front, take them off after an hour, 10 off of it. Rest them for the whole... Don't include them Wednesday against Watford. We're 7 points clear in the top four race. Even if the disastrous thing happened and we lose to Watford and all the teams beneath us win, it's still 4 points. We've still got to lose another two games and they've got to win them both. And everyone's still got to play each other in that top six. Are you worried about top four?
Yes.
Do you think we can catch Liverpool?
No.
But the gap...
I'm not worried about
the gap is nearly the same. It's 9 and 7. There's not a lot in it. So I was really, really surprised that they weren't even in the squad. Honestly, at the time, I actually said it's inexcusable because I was like, look, we've just gone out of the League Cup. The FA Cup's massive. We just get through this game, then we'll have all our players back for when it really matters.
Would you have taken a draw?
I would have taken a draw.
Meaning it meant another game, man.
Yeah, but worse. You'd have liked to have.
This is interesting because you're saying you would have wanted a draw. You're saying no, so you immediately can see the conundrum that Poch is in.
I think he's made a very grown up, difficult decision where he went, do you know what? Emotionally, I want to keep us in, and in 5 months, I'll look back and maybe think it's a mistake. But right now, with the games we've got coming up, like Dortmund is a priority, Premier League's a priority, the FA Cup is the lowest priority of what we're left
with. But my argument with that is Watford at home, Newcastle at home next week or this week are the games. Out of those three games, what Palace away in the Cup and there's two home games, I would say all day long Palace away is the toughest game.
Yeah.
So you could have probably afford to rest players in the Watford and the Newcastle game. Versus the Palace one.
But flip it, we've still got a depleted squad. If you do that, we could still then lose all three.
We could.
If you've got a higher chance of getting 6 points if you guarantee losing, I'm all right.
But if you look at routes to success, success being a tangible output, like a trophy,
or getting more money for getting in different positions, high positions.
Champions League, as in the actual tournament we're in now, I don't see it as a priority because we've made it through to the group stages, so we've got the additional additional income.
Yeah.
The route to success, i.e. a tangible trophy, and it comes back down to money and what the brief is from Daniel Levy to Pochettino. But you look at routes to success and routes to trophies, you've got an easier route to success coming from the FA Cup than you do from the Champions League.
Mm.
So yeah,
No, you don't.
Because you've got last 16, quarterfinal, semi-final.
Oh yeah, but your success final, is cut.
Seven.
That's not our success, I don't think. It is just about money. They've just had to extend the loan. So we took on a 400 million loan. I think they've taken up to 640 million odd for this new stadium. We need money to cover that. And the 6 million we're going to get for winning the FA Cup is nothing compared to the 70 million we get from being in this
stage. But from a financial point of view, there is no argument. Like, you can't argue it. But
we're a business.
But from an emotional fans, what, you know, we need to get that trophy.
And we'll preview Dortmund moving forwards in the next couple of weeks. Yeah. But if you look at the teams as we are now, and the Dortmund team, we've got no chance in hell. We've got no chance.
But if you rest play, like, I think we have, because we battered them last year, and obviously they're an improved team, they're leading the Bundesliga and all that sort of stuff, and we will come on to that. We as fans want a cup. It's very difficult, not impossible, but very difficult for us, because if City won it, like, City won 5-0, didn't they?
Yeah.
And they won their previous game 9-0 plus 1-0, you know? If they want to win, they'll go out and win. So that's not our success, and it's not guaranteed. Whereas getting the money, we can do that better, you know. We can get out of Champions League group stages and make 70 million, done. If it means getting a stadium, paying the stadium off, getting better players to then come back and win more trophies, then I say let's go out of the cups for the next 3 years.
Just playing devil's advocate, would you be happy if we move into a new stadium, new season, next season, Danny Levy sells up? Would you be happy if Danny Levy sold up next season?
I don't know. See, this is an interesting point as well, because everyone's like, Joe Louis got loads of money, we should be pushing loads of money. It's amazing that people with not much money are trying to give advice to a rich man who has saved loads of money by the fact he's a rich man on how to spend his money. That's not the way money works. And so if he sells up, maybe, if he sells us to a sugar daddy and a rich Dubai guy, would it rip the soul out of a club? I'd hate to be Man City. Obviously, they love success, but that it's not sustainable. And it's just not Tottenham. In when it comes to that, you're just playing who's got the biggest knob, and that's not what I love about football, you know?
Just because you can't win.
I literally cannot win. I've got down the leagues to find that.
Interestingly, we've had all these injuries to our attackers. So I said this a few weeks ago. Our focus in games has to be keeping clean sheets. When your attackers are out, nick games 1-0, do the old Ferguson stuff. It's not going to be pretty, but keep tight at the back and you've only got to score one goal to win. We've failed to do that. We didn't keep a clean sheet against United, Fulham, Chelsea or Palace. So all of a sudden our goals at the top end of the pitch have gone and we're not looking as solid. Like,
I agree.
The Palace game, I didn't feel comfortable at the back the whole game. It was a bit of a strange one.
Foyth was good though.
Foyth is brilliant.
He's a midfielder for me. He really is. The way he takes the ball, his range of passing, he's got a burst of pace.
Is he not just a modern defender? Like, you look at goalkeepers now, like Gazzaniga's distribution. Oh, and that pass Eriksen did to Llorente was unreal. Tell you what I wish was on the end of that, Robin van Persie, because that boy can volley a diagonal ball.
But Foyth, I don't think that, I'm not saying that he's not got the ability to play centre half. I think he has.
I know what you mean.
I just think the way I almost think he's wasted sat at the back. He's great in a back four against teams where he can be spraying the ball about, and you know, teams are pressing and he can play through it. Fantastic. But against Palace, I mean, they just literally got their goals and just sat at the edge of their box, and we really struggled to break it down. Had chances in the first half. I mean, the Nkudu one. from the free kick. Just
never talk about him ever.
It's brilliantly worked. And I mean, what is he doing?
I saw someone call him N-can't-do, which I think is quite apt.
I wonder what you're going to say there. The penalty from Trippier was just...
It was woeful.
Another one, to not hit the target.
He crossed it.
It was so obvious what way he was going to put it as well. It was so obvious, just from the way he was running up.
Taking the penalty?
Yeah, I'm not sure why he was taking the penalty. I mean,
is Llorente's confidence that... Is it that low? But we don't know. They might have been working on it in the week and they might have said, you know, Trippier is my designated penalty taker. It's difficult to know. Part of me, when it got given, I was really hoping that Dier was going to just grab the ball and say, I'm going to put Thursday night right.
There was a massive giveaway that ball was never going to go in the net.
Yeah.
Trippier was taking it?
Was the fact that he looked a bit unsure moving towards the ball.
Didn't fancy him.
And then he went to like take it, but the ball moved off the spot like three times because of wind, and you're like, this is never going in.
I would love for him to have turned around and just literally got, my head's gone, I don't want it, and let someone else come. I don't know. Like I said, it's difficult to slate players for penalties because they've got to have the bottle to actually take it, you know. There's an old football quote, isn't there, which is the only player that can't miss a penalty is the one that's not brave enough to take it. So you do have to take that into account. At that point in the game, it does take bottle for him to say, you know what, we're losing, we're on the verge of going out, give me the ball, I'm going to do it.
To be fair, he seemed to be on every single set piece, even Crystal Palace's. He was everywhere. He was taking everything.
I mean, look, we're out, it's done. I'm absolutely gutted.
Doesn't make it feel any better now.
Like, I'm sad. I want to be in the FA Cup, but...
just want that day at Wembley.
Wednesday night,
then. Yeah, exactly. But, you know, that cup final day, that buzz of it, everyone's, like, I just want to experience that. You know, like, in my lifetime, I haven't seen Spurs get to an FA Cup final. Like, that's just... It's unbelievable, especially given the success that we had in the decades before that. Anyway, transfer window. Let's quickly talk about that. Rabiot, is it going to happen?
No.
Brilliant. Okay, so let's talk about the two games this week. Because they're the only transfer rumours we've got. We've got Watford Wednesday night.
He's come, in his thing, in his press conference after the game, he said they're going to now look at the transfer with more energy before it finishes on Thursday. And it's going to have to be a British player because of the Champions
Jack
League.
Jack Grealish, do you think we'll revisit that one?
I think it's gone. I think it's gone. I think we'll still look at a lower league player and maybe pick up someone for the Championship, maybe. Mm. But who knows? Championship's really exciting this year. Leeds, Norwich, all them.
There's good players in the lower leagues. There are good players in the lower leagues.
But look at is it Jack Clark who plays? Is it Jack Clark, the Leeds lad who we're after?
I don't know.
So we're after a player for Leeds who with the potential to loan back. But that's not an immediate impact.
No. But we've never been about short-term solutions, have we? Ever, apart from Llorente, who's been a failed experiment. We've been burnt by that.
Just imagine if there was such a non-Spurs thing where we just went and spent 80 million and like got Ibrahimovic on a free and give him 300 grand a week. Yeah, I mean, it's the kind of stuff you do on FIFA when you're like, you lose a stupid game, you're like, right, I'm just going to buy everyone now.
I believe once upon a time, before Sergio Aguero had actually gone to Man City, we had a £37.5 million bid rejected.
I remember listening to a podcast about this, like back in the day, that we offered the same amount of money as City, but we told him to pay out his contract, where City said they'd pay out his contract. Mm-hmm. We did that in the January, they got him in the summer.
But we have been involved in massive deals. Do you remember like when Andy Carroll went to Liverpool for 35 million? We were in that and we went to like 30. And you think, can you imagine?
Thank God I don't know.
Him and Crouch, look about Diamond, him and Crouch and Redford in the hole, that would have been lethal. Dawson hitting diagonals.
Let's move on from that.
Watford Wednesday.
Must win.
It's a must win. I think confidence at the moment is shot. I think this is probably Poch's most difficult few months coming up. Lack of injuries, lack of investment, Des. And again, we don't know what the conversation is between Poch and Daniel. Yeah. If Poch is forcing the issue behind doors, saying, look, we need to get two in, we need to get three in, we need to get someone in.
Which I'm sure he is. I'd be absolutely shocked if Pochettino doesn't want anyone. Like, I just can't believe that. But it's the getting the right player. It's not, I don't want us to buy for the sake of it. I mean, you bring a body in just, you know, to please everyone. It's not about that, but it's about strengthening.
It's about strengthening the right places. But you look at it, I mean, midfield. So if you buy someone to sit in midfield, he's not just someone to please everyone. He's there because he's got a purpose of filling the gaps we have in midfield.
I'm available on a free. That's all I'm saying. If you want to plug a midfield gap,
there's a reason
I'm available on a free. I think my answering machine must be broke or something because nothing's coming through. We've got Newcastle at the weekend as well. That, for me, this is two wins. These are routine bread and butter Prem games.
But is it still with the injuries that we have?
But Son is knackered. Let's be clear. Apparently he was at hospital away yesterday and he is tired. I think he sits at Watford and plays Newcastle.
I think he sits at Watford as well.
He may be on the bench maybe for Watford. I don't know. But we should still... I'm not being funny. We should still have enough. And even for Palace, even though I wasn't happy with the team, it should still be enough.
Does Nkudu start?
It should, but these things happen.
Nkudu should be nowhere near a match day squad. So, he's just... He's terrible.
One thing I doesn't make any sense to me, and Poch mentioned this, it was more of a professional thing with Janssen. But surely. With everything that's going on, with the lack of attacking options that we have at the moment, he's been getting game time under 23s. Why is he not on the bench?
That's just to keep him fit.
He's just done.
I know there's issues that I was saying he hasn't got a squad number and this and that, but...
I think we should loan him to Cardiff, because obviously that's a horrendously sad situation. No, it's Cardiff for free. Just let, because they're in real trouble.
I don't think they'd want him. Honestly, he's below Keziah Sterling in the pecking order because that's evident from him getting on the bench. He's finished. We won't see him again. Potts has even said, hasn't he? All these injuries, is he part of your plans? He just went no.
Yeah.
So you know, if you can't even be considered when you've got this many injuries, he's finished.
Two wins.
Two wins for me as well. We are Tottenham Hotspur quiz.
We are about the glory of the game. We are about playing with style. We are Tottenham Hotspur.
Yes!
There we go. You're so much better than Jay. He normally moans at this point. So,
what are we doing? Do you need a piece of paper?
You might want to get a bit of paper. For anybody that does not know this feature, I will give you a game the Spurs have played, a date for that game, half of that starting lineup, and you need to fill in the blanks, effectively. Right, so this game is... 8th of April, 2017.
Ooh.
It's Tottenham 4, Watford 0.
Oh, here we go.
Okay. We played a 4-2-3-1 formation that day. You should get this. There's one which might throw you. Goalkeeper was Lloris.
Can we call him Lloris? That's his name.
Hugo was in goal. right back is a question mark. Let's go through the team before you guess. First centre-half is Toby.
Yeah.
Second centre-half is a question mark.
Yeah.
Left back's Ben Davis. Centre midfield, Eric Dier.
Yeah.
Question mark. Right midfield, Eriksen.
Yeah.
Centre attacking midfield, Dele.
Yeah.
Left midfield, Son.
Yeah.
Striker, question mark. So you got to get one. So you've
striker,
Janssen.
Janssen.
That was the one I didn't think you'd get. That really was. The others,
Dembele.
In the middle. Right back, Trippier. And then in the middle, Jan. Super Jan.
Yeah, nailed it. Absolutely smashed it. Easiest quiz of the week. I thought the Janssen one was going to be one where we got stuck on for ages.
Who else could it be?
Kane. But I thought Janssen might have been erased from memory, but we were just talking about him.
Can you make it harder next week, please?
Hugo in goal, Trips, Alderweireld, Vertonghen, Davis. Dier, Dembele.
Hasn't changed, has it?
In 2 years, that's effectively the same side still.
I don't... See, and again, it comes back down to like...
That would have won the game yesterday. Or whatever it was. So
we won that game.
It would have won the game yesterday, but if you look at the injuries we've had...
Yeah. You know, then we need to look at the bench to see if our bench has improved, because...
Well, we won that game 4-0, by the way.
Easy. Who scored? I don't remember it at all.
Sonny got two, Dier got one...
I had no memory of it
and
whatsoever.
And Delhi got the other as well.
Yeah, it was 3-0 at half time. But interestingly,
was the one with Dyer's Thunder Bastard.
Yeah, that was it, from the edge of the box.
And then Delhi with a curler from
absolute
from
worldie line, unlike Dele Alli goal.
And Sonny when he.
Oh, yeah.
Remember?
Sonny got the volley?
At Wembley.
No, White Hart Lane.
That was the last game I went to White Hart Lane.
Ali literally 25 yards
because
in the
Dembele
top corner.
Got absolutely clattered. He did. Dele was a bit pissed.
And then Sonny got one 5 minutes into the second half. The Trippier crossed it in, and on the volley he was coming in.
That's the one. But initially I had no memory of that game.
What are the other Korean players that have been in the Premier League? Park Ji-sung and Ki Sung-young.
did Arsenal
had a they had a Park as well.
Arsenal had a Park.
Yeah.
But he barely ever played, didn't he? He was rapid, but
they signed a little Japanese schoolboy as well. Do you remember that back? I used to listen to the Tuesday Club a lot because Alan Davis is funny, but. Never mind.
Lee Young Pyo we had as well.
Lee Young Pyo, yeah.
He was from.
Was he?
I'd take him right now.
He was South.
We're in football.
He was South Korean. but that's all. I'm sure there's someone really obvious that we've missed out, but that's all. It's going to be a massive week, you know. We have to bounce back. I'm still absolutely gutted about, you know, going out of the FA Cup, but you know, it's one of them things you've just. Got to roll with it. Enjoy your moment.
Lee Young Pyo,
FIFA 14 rated 69.
God, he looks about. Unbelievable. He looks about 69
there. Yeah, that's his age, not his rating. But thanks for listening, everyone. ASD, Abbas, good to see you both.
Good boy.
Come on, Spurs. We need two wins this week. So, whatever happens, future's bright, future's lily white. Come on, you Spurs.
I always thought there was very, very many people interested in football, and I always thought that football was a very important game, but I never realised until today. Just how important it is.
Whether the Wonder Boys of White Hart Lane are or are not the team of the century can't possibly be more than a matter of opinion.
Well, they're the finest team in Great Britain and one of the best in the world.
We are about the glory of the game. We are about playing with style. We are Tottenham Hotspur. Curve of the ball, the billow of the net, the beating of the trap and the picking of the lock, the swiftness of thought, the lightness of touch. We are Ginola, Greaves, Klinsmann. We are the collective gasp, the intake of breath, the flick, the trick, the 30-yard free kick. We are Hoddle, Mabbott and King. We are the lob, the chip, the dummy and the volley. We are the hat trick, the scissor kick. We are Bill Nick.
That is schoolboy's own stuff.
We are the outside of the boot, the inside of the net, and those seconds that last forever.
Van der Vaart to level it up. Raphael Van der Vaart, 2-2. It's quite a game, isn't it always?
We are Jennings, Defoe and Perryman. Glory past, glory future. What was, what is, what's next? We are Blanchflower, Ardiles and Bale. We are about winning with a flourish. We are about winning with style. We are about the glory of the game. Daring to try, daring to risk, daring to dream. To dare is to do.